Okay, let's continue where we left off last time. Today's starting with the topic of Hishtamshut b'chevet shel chavero, using your friend's item without permission. Mutar lakach la'atzmo b'li netilat reshut chevet shel acherim hu'davar she'ein adam makpid bo. You can borrow from your friend without permission any item people aren't generally extra careful about. People don't care about when someone takes it and uses it. U'mimidat chassidut en la'sotchein. But it's an extra amount of piety if you're not to take it. And if the only reason that the person isn't makbid about it is because of pressure or embarrassment, do you mind? And he, you know, and people are around and he says, I mind, he looks like a jerk. So he's going to say, no, I don't mind, but really he does mind. So then when you take it from him, that's usr. But normally, if it's something that people aren't generally makbid on, so then it's allowed. And if you know the specific person is makbid, it's usr, even if others aren't generally makbid. We don't say, you know, butla daito itel kaladam, since most people aren't makbid, this person's not. If you know this person is extra annoying or extra careful or extra whatever it is about his item, then you can't borrow that item. But if it's, if you have a pen lying out and people always, you know, can I just quickly write down a phone number with that pen? Do I ask the guy? That's typically allowed as an example. If it's the guy's, like, fanciest pen in the world, you know, and he's one of these $500 pens, and to get replacement ink he has to, you know, go to Antarctica or something. So don't borrow that pen, you know. But normal, typical things that people aren't, if somebody used yours, you wouldn't mind, and you know, most people wouldn't mind. Not that sometimes people are more forgiving than others. So then that is indeed allowed, maybe midah chasidut not to. But one day in Olam Haba, you're going to be played a video of your life, and you're going to borrow something without permission on the video from somebody, and somebody's going to borrow something yours without permission. And how you react is how you're going to be judged for what you... he's not saying this, is me saying this because it's Elul. But sometimes I see like the same thing that I did, and then I got annoyed somebody else did, and I'm like, wait, maybe, you know, so I have to improve my ways. So, if you borrow a pen sometimes without permission, so when somebody does it from you, you have to make sure that you're okay with that as well. Okay, you shouldn't have that double standard. Afilo ha-mishtameish u-machzir b'sheila shlomidat abalim nikra gazlan. If you use something and even return it, but without permission, you're gazlan. Elim kenu davar she'en abalim v'akbidun lav, only if it's something that people don't normally mind. You can't just decide to, like, borrow your friend's car without permission, okay? That's something people generally, oh, what, you took my car without permission? That would be crazy. There's a big difference between a car and a pen. Ach mikol makom mutter litol talit utfilin shel chavero shel midat lav sham. You get somewhere, and or you don't even know who the person is. You show up in a shul, you don't have your tefillin. There's a pair of tefillin sitting there. Can you put them on? And the answer is yes. You shouldn't walk away with them so that the person shows up, he gets worried what happened to them. But you're allowed to wear them. If you found it folded, you know, you should try to fold it up the same way when you're done. In the same place, temporary manner. To do this regularly, to take them somewhere else, that's forbidden. You're somewhere, I didn't bench lulav today, there's a lulav sitting here, can I use it? The answer is yes. You might not be yodzei on the first day, okay, but the other days of Sukkot, that would be allowed. So too with a shofar, if you see a shofar sitting there, try not to wake anyone, but you can blow that as well. So this comes up all the time in our lives, right? So you know, you sneeze and you're near somebody's box of tissues, so can you take a tissue? Yes. If every sneeze you have in your whole life, you take that guy's tissues, he's not going to have any tissues. So then it might be a problem. That's why he says, Davka Bakrai, but not Bekviut. Not as a regular thing, unless the guy is okay, you know, tells whoever needs tissues, here's, you know, Rabbi Ryan has a Gemach tissue, so he's okay with it. But, you know, just a regular stranger person who has it, so then, you know, one time, sure, take it if you. But if he's there and he doesn't mind only because of pressure or embarrassment, then it might be problematic. You have a question already, yes? Yes, if you know the person wouldn't want you to use it, so that was in the example he said, that if he is makbid, so then you can't do that.
But if a person just doesn't expect someone to be using it, like let's say the guy's got sparring tefillin, so he doesn't expect...
Yeah, but so Sardi shows up and wants to use it, great. Or if you're stuck, you should use Sardi Tefillin too. Okay, I'm pretty sure Sardi Tefillin is better than no Tefillin, even for an Ashkenazi. That's my layman's psak here. But, you know, you go to a simcha and you want to take some food with you. So it might be mekubal, you know, to wrap up a bagel or something at the end of a bris. But if you start taking, you know, trays of food, maybe he doesn't want it. And he says, you know, it's fine. Maybe you're pressuring him. Sometimes he's like, I don't want the leftovers. You know, take them, please. Okay, then misimcha. Okay, you know, there's different, you have to read the room. But sometimes they put out tinfoil so somebody could wrap up a bagel. You know, not to wrap up all the food. And that's, you know, your roommate buys a box of cookies and, you know, he's not in the room and you want one of them. So if it's a big box of cookies, you know he doesn't mind. It's allowed to take one. If he bought himself a cookie and you eat it, he'd probably be annoyed. So you have to, you know, again, each time the situation. When it comes to using talis or tefillin as somebody you know, so that is permission, you can. But the Aruch HaShulchan points out it's not so, there's a lot more people makpid these days. But usually we say, Noach lo la'adam she tavin mitzvah mamone. He likes you doing the mitzvah with his item. So again, do your best to treat it nicely, fold it, put it away, and it's allowed. Removing a book from a shul without permission, that would not be allowed. Okay, just about every shul I've been to, if they're smart, puts up a sign that says, don't take books out of here without the rabbi or gabbai's permission or something like that. That means that people are generally makbid. Even if you find the one shul that doesn't have such a sign, still, since the whole klal was, it's a davar that most people aren't, davar she'ein abal makbid lover, a thing that most people aren't, this is something that people generally are. And therefore, you can't do that without permission. By the way, it's also forbidden to take a shul's book and give it to a kid to play with. Okay? You're going to cause nezek to the book, and it's gezel and hezek of the rabbin. So that you should not do. If you know your friend is okay with you borrowing his MP3 player, whatever it is, and that's your friend, you already have a relationship with him. More of this is just about somebody stam. Okay, and you have to know your friends and know how careful they are with their stuff and what kind of stuff they're okay with hunting out. And some of this is how we treat it with stam people, if you just see a pen or a box of tissues sitting around, okay? Any questions on that for the next topic? Okay. The next topic is Kniat Chafetz Ganuv V'Misayel L'Ganav. Oh, yes, question.
So is it what dependent on your relationship with the person? It
depends on your relationship with the person in terms of figuring out if they would mind you borrowing it. As in, you're his best friend, so he doesn't mind you using it, but he would mind a stranger. So then, therefore, because you're his best friend. But also, if you're his best friend, you know he's particularly annoyed about people borrowing his stuff without permission. So just you being his friend doesn't let you take it. It just being his friend allows you to better assess the situation. So we have certain rules for when we have no information about a person. So we have to rely on Chazal, okay, if it's for a mitzvah, if it's a cry, if it's less than Shavu Pruta, you know, just the amount of ink and writing down a phone number and from my $3 pen. Now that sounds expensive already. My one shekel pen, and you wrote down a phone number of it, so you didn't even do anything, so I don't mind, even if I don't know you. So that, you know, there's a whole spectrum there of, you just have to figure out on the certain. There's certain things that you can expect any basic human being to be okay with you doing without permission. There's certain things, okay, if you're my friend, you're my roommate. Okay, those are the rules there. The next topic is Kniat Chafetz Ganuv Misayel L'Ganav, buying a stolen item or helping out a ganav, a thief. Asur leknot me'aganav u'megazlan chetzev she'ganav u'gazal. You can't buy any stolen merchandise. Elim kein mitkaven l'tovar ha'baylim l'achzir lehem v'im yachzir l'mo'atav u'shebaylim lo yecholim l'atzil matzmanum lo ayakone. But you know your friend had his item stolen and you see the person selling it and you figure out, this is a good way to get it back from my friend, and the friend wouldn't otherwise be able to get it back, so I could buy it for him, and the friend will pay you back, kind of thing. Then you're allowed to buy the stolen item that otherwise you would not be able to retrieve. You can't help the thief steal in any way. The Gemara uses an interesting lashon. It's not the mouse that steals, it's the hole. The fact that he can hide it in the hole is actually what helps him be able to steal it. Gam kol davar shecheskato ganuv shel pirov togam ganuv yitzal adam kaze asur liknom mimenu. Any item that you can assume is stolen merchandise, or this type of person selling the merchandise, you know, from his trench coat and, you know, in secret on the streets, so then you have to, it's forbidden to buy from him. L'chein ein konim, konim mipoalim omanim davar sheish l'chrosh l'mochrosh l'mida palabayit. If you think a salesman is secretly taking items from the owner of a store or establishment and selling them off for private profits, you know, not ringing it up with the register, so then you can't buy from him even if it's a better deal. Of course it's a better deal, he's not paying for it. So too, if you know the kid is there, you know, if you're standing in front of your friend's house and the kid goes, "Hey, do you want my father's painting for a dollar?" So you have to find out, is it a yard sale and they're cleaning out the place, or is it the kid, you know, doesn't know the value of money, took his father's item and selling it? So buying such an item would not be allowed. Anytime the guy says to you, "Shh, keep it a secret, hide it," then it would be forbidden. Yes?
What if you bought an item and later you found out it was stolen? So you already made the purchase.
So the person who it's stolen from would have the right to get it from you, meaning, but not for free. You don't lose your money.
They'd
have to pay you for it, yeah.
Independent of their own object.
They have to pay you for the object.
It's their own object.
It's their own object, yeah. Okay, they can go claim, you know, they could go pursue whatever it is from the thief.
Right.
But you, the person who bought the item, if you really didn't know that it was stolen, you just bought an item, so you're not at fault for having bought the item.
Yeah,
you don't lose out.
As in, if you know it's found out stolen, you don't know who it belongs to, should you just return and get a refund, or can you just keep on with it? That's fine.
You found out it was stolen, can you hold on to it now?
Yeah, because you don't know who it belongs to.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. I would ask a Shiloh to a Diane. Okay. I know the Simonim where we could look it up and learn it together afterwards, but I don't know the answer. But, you know, this comes up sometimes. You own a business and, you know, you're selling some kind of merchandise and somebody offers you to sell you the merchandise that you sell for really cheap. So you might even have to check with one of your competitors to see if it's his, if it was stolen. If you know, I had a friend who told me he was once at taking a picture with like an old camera, and an employee comes outside of an electronics store and offers him a really good deal on a camera. So, and I was like, is he offering you the price that you could get inside the store too, you know, in front of the owner and the register and the cameras, or is he offering you a secret price? Can a person get you a good price, a wholesale price? So if you think you can get it with the permission of the owner, if you think it's available in other circumstances, that would be allowed. Can a cashier say, by the way, forget the penny, like you it rings up as 10:01. You know, they have pennies in where I'm from. Let's say here it's 10:10. So can they say just pay me 10? So the answer is yes. You know why? Because coins often cost the store money. They have to buy rolls of coins. They don't. It's not just at the rate of the coins. They have to pay for them. So sometimes it's worth it for them to just charge you the 10 shekel and forget the 10 agarot. That's legitimate. But street sellers selling a watch on the street, you know, for $5. So, and it says, you know, Molex instead of Rolex or something like that. So those are fake and you're allowed to do that. And even if it says Rolex, if he's selling them for $5, likely they're still fake. So can you be buying knockoff jewelry? So the minhag in the olam is that's allowed. People are well aware. What's not allowed is to present it as real and, you know, charge $500 for a fake Rolex. That would be not allowed on the part of the seller. But you buying a $5 item made to look like the original, as long as everybody here knows what's happening in the transaction, that's generally allowed. So do you know, are we supposed to be choshesh it's stolen? Usually it's not stolen. They might want you to think it is, so you'll think it's real and you'll be more likely to buy it. But usually it's not, but you might have to check. You know, there could be a possibility that the guy's stolen and selling them for $5. But usually if he sold real Rolexes, he's going to be looking for a little more than $5. That's my impression. Question, let's start with you.
If you go and buy the fake Rolex,
mm-hmm.
you walk around with it, is that not an issue of canal doubt?
No, because everybody knows about $5 Rolex. That's the real answer. Meaning it's the cat's out of the bag on guys selling cheap watches on the street, knockoff designer, sunglasses, handbags, watches. People are familiar with getting things on sale and whatever. There's no.
What about when it's like a good fake? And so like it looks, you know, it's fake. They're trying to sell it to Israel or whatever. They're not Jewish. Like it doesn't matter. You're going to spend half the price of a Rolex but get a good looking fake Rolex. Is there a problem on the part of like not being ethical to the to Rolex itself?
You're asking if the if I don't think the Chavetz Chaim would do it, but I really don't think that's technically a problem. I think people are familiar with buying imitation stuff. You know, if you want to walk around with the authentication seal and show everybody I got a real Rolex, and you can't do that unless you got the real one. But you're allowed to buy a fake item. But you shouldn't be buying from a person trying to hide the seal, hide the sale. So sometimes a person's doing it because he wants to give you the deal and not everybody else. Okay, that's allowed. But if he's doing it because he's trying not to get caught or find out, then it becomes a problem. Okay, let's move on to our next topic, is Oshek Chamas, Lo Tachmod and Lo Tedave. Okay, Ezehu Iser Oshek, Ze Sheba Mamon Chaviru Letoch Yado Beratzon Habalim. כיוון שתבעו, כבש ממון לא חזקה ולא החזירה, כגון שהיה לו ביד חבר או אהבה או שכירות וטובו ואין יכול להוציא ממנו מפני שהוא עליהם וקשה. So what's Oshek? A person has somebody else's item, with permission. Like, you lent me something, you had me watch something, whatever it is, and then, when you want to give it back, get it back, I don't give it back. That's Oshek. So it came into my possession with permission, and I don't give it back, and I'm bigger than you, and you're afraid of me, whatever, so you don't get it back. So I've violated that. And that's true even if it's part of it. In other words, you put $10,000 worth of merchandise in my possession, and you show up to give it back, and I give you $9,700 of it, and I hold on to $3,000 of it, or I pay you for it. Right? You give me $10,000 of merchandise, and I pay you $9,700, and hold on to $300, and you know every time you ask for it, and I give you an excuse, and I don't pay you for it. So that is a violation of Oshek. Okay, you can, even if he lets you get away with it, it's because of the frustration and his inability to get it from you, he'd really want it back. Then you violate the Isser. In other words, if you paid him $9,900 and then you're like, oh, can I owe you the $10? And he's just like, forget it. He might mean forget it. Okay, but it's only if he means forget it, not because of fear and ability to get it back. A person says to you, I have a, you know, your friend has a vacation house. So you're like, hey, can I use your vacation house? He's like, listen, I'm happy. I lend out the vacation house. Usually, just to cover the electricity or whatever, I have people pay $25 a day. So you're like, great, I'll use it the next 4 days. And you give him $100. And then at the end of the fourth day, you decide to stay a fifth day. So, but he's not there. He doesn't, it's a vacation home. It's upstate. It's out of town. So when you see him the next week, he goes, how was it? It was great. You don't tell him about the fifth day. So essentially, you withheld him from him the $25. You owe it to him. So that would be part of this Isser. So that's like you have your friend's item, and he doesn't know, so you're obligated to inform him, which is the next line here. Chaveiro en yodeh shemamono biyado chayav lo'odio. Em inum yodio mistaber shebechlal gezel. If you don't let him know, that's like stealing. Now, what about convincing your friend to sell you something? Hakofet chaveru limkor shelav shenotein lo dama yesh b'zeh iser chamas. The iser chamas is to force your friend to pay you something, even if you pay him in full. We were to go to 7 experts who would tell us this is the right, this is even a good price. You know, in other words, normally this costs $100, and you pay him $200, but he doesn't want to sell it to you, and you force him, you convince him, you get him to sell it to you anyway, even if you're paying the going rate or better. It's an Isser known as the Isser of Hamas. Nothing to do with the terrorist organization. Okay, this is... So, forcing a person to sell you an item, if you pay the full amount, that's the Isser Hamas. So, sometimes this comes up, by the way, there's places that like to send you books in the mail and then ask you for money for them. So, if you receive a book in the mail unsolicited, you're under no obligation. If you want the book, then it's a different story. In other words, they send you the book, and they say, you know, please pay us for this book. So you got it unsolicited. You don't have to do anything. You know, they start bugging you. You say, come back and get the book. Your problem, you know. But if you want the book, so now, and the demander demands payment, and you have no intention to pay, it's forbidden to use it. You don't have to make an effort to return it because it came unsolicited, but you have to let them know. You can just write on the book, it's not yours, don't use it. If after a long time, by the way, he doesn't come, you can assume he was mochel, and then you can use it. If he doesn't ask for money, just the price is listed on it, it's permissible to use it because we assume it was a cent with this doubt in mind. The person decided to use it without paying, remain his as a gift. But, you know, a lot of tzedakah organizations will send a book with an envelope. So this is gets a little bit tricky. So if you don't want the book, you can discard it, you can put in Geniza, you can let them know, I don't want it, you know, you can come get it. They're not going to come get it, okay? But if you do want the book, you have to give them something. There's no rule. It doesn't say that you have to give them, you know, $50. You can send them a $10 check or $18 check or whatever the norm is. But you can, okay, that's, you can't force anyone to buy something from you. If a person buys a, or sell, let's say a person buys a soda, and you see it, and I don't know what the sodas cost here anymore. It's been a long time. Was it 4 shekel? Okay, let's say it's 4 shekel. Five. Okay, 5 shekel. Kanayanahara. So you, the person buys a 5 shekel, and you're like, man, I'm really thirsty. I don't want to walk up there and get one. So before he opens it, you grab a 5 shekel, stick it in his hand, grab the can of soda from him. So that would not be allowed. That would be this issue. You forced him to say, he went up the steps and got his own soda. You can do the same thing. He didn't want to get you one. You didn't say to him, hey, while you're going up there, can you buy me a soda? He might be willing to do that. But this was you forcing yourself on him. You know, if you're in the insurance industry and you force your father-in-law to buy insurance from you, so you're making it impossible to say no because he's your father-in-law. So that's probably also part of this iser. By the way, all those transactions are valid. They work. It's just a shemitz of gzeilah when it's done, you know, by Jews, between Jews. Sometimes you go to schools where there's like a meal plan, a cafeteria plan, workplaces, and so the guy pays and gets a meal every day, and you know he's not there that day. So can you take his meal or not? Okay, this is a shayla, comes up a lot, came up in where I went to college, and I'm sure it comes up other places. So the psaka I got was that if he can, in theory, there's different foods. If it's a food that he'd want to reheat and eat later, so then you can't do that. If it's a food that if you don't eat it now, he's not going to want, so then you can take it and eat it if you have his permission, or eat it and pay him for it, and then it's allowed. Pay him for it.
Why?
Because he paid for it.
But it's not, if you don't eat it, it's going to go to waste anyway.
Okay, but it's not yours. Can you just eat the food, you know, in restaurants? And
but can't you assume he's like muck?
No, because he could tell somebody, hey, Reuven, you know, I'm not going to be there that day, then do that. So then you get permission.
But we're assuming he's like mafka the food
guy. I wouldn't assume it.
He'll say he's sick that day.
Okay. Yeah.
So obviously he knows he's not going to eat his meal.
Yeah. So there might be room. Okay. So call him up. Say, hey, can I, yeah, I see you're not here today. Can I eat your food today? Sure. Okay. כל החומד ביתו או כלב של חברו או כל דבר שאפשר שכנאו ממנו ויחפיד עליו רעים והפצר בו עד שלא חום ממנו הרי זה עובר לא תעשה. I lost my place. One second. Below tachmod. So you want your friend's house. You want your friend's car. You want anything. And so you ask him and you beg him and you start having friends go over and convince him. Hey, really, you should sell Reuven your car. So, Achalok, and then he's so annoyed by everybody bugging him all the time, so he decides to sell it. So, Hariza over below Tachmod. You have violated the Isser of Lo Tachmod. Call him itave, beishto, ishto, vekelav, shachavro, kokiotsebeze, kevan, shachashvo, bilibo, ech, yekned, davar zev, and if tablivo, davar, avar below titave. If your friend has something, has a house, has a wife, has any car, kli, item that you want, and you start to figure out, how can I get that to be mine? That is the violation of lo titave, that's in your head. So there's two separate lavin. Halamadata shemitave over belave chad, vakone davar shitave behevzer, shehevzer, violim over belam. figure out you want to get it, and then you start having people bug him, or you bug him. There's two separate lavim. An item for sale, neither of these isurim apply. And you're even allowed to bargain him down. He's selling it for $100, he'd be like, I'll give you 50. Come on, I'll give you 50, 50 for it. You're selling it for 100, nobody wants it. Okay, that's legitimate, if it's for sale. The guy doesn't want to sell it, and you start bugging him to sell it to you, so that's the isur. Can you want the same item that your friend's has that's readily available? You know, your friend buys a car, and, you know, a computer or a toy, and you want the same thing. Yes, that's totally legitimate. You know, okay, you're not wanting his. You're like, hey, that's a nice shirt. Let me go to whatever store sells that, and I'll go buy my own. Okay, that's legitimate. If you like it, you know, and it's for sale, there's no problem doing that. But pressuring a guy to sell it to you or figuring out a way, then it's a problem. So how can you ever ask to buy something from someone? Like, if he announces, hey, this is for sale, anyone wants it, so we all know it's for sale. But what about when it doesn't? How do you ever find out it's an item for sale? So there's a sefer called Betzel Chachma who says once or twice is allowed. But too much is bad. How long? It's not in a whole lifetime. You can ask him once, you know, this year, or once next year again. There's no, you know, you didn't violate it. But, you know, you see a house in a neighborhood, like right in a spot you really like. You're allowed to knock on the door and say, hey, is this for sale? No. Now, if you start ringing his doorbell every single day, he's going to hate you as the annoying guy who rings his doorbell every day to ask if the house is for sale. But if, you know, every year, hey, you know, I came by last year, I just want to check, is this for sale? No. Okay. Totally legitimate. You haven't violated the issur. So, this comes up a lot, by the way, even for mitzvos. You know, there's gabbai tzedakahs. What's a gabbai tzedakah's job? Getting you to donate, to give tzedakah. So if he bugs you too much to donate, so that could be an issur. If he withholds you getting aliyahs or something in order to get you to donate, that would be an issur. Okay, so he doesn't feel you donate enough. So these might be issurs as well. Even a seller who generally sells something and doesn't want to sell it right now and you bug him to sell to you right now might violate the issur. Okay. Any questions? Otherwise, we'll stop here and continue with the next thing next time.
Just to go back to the Gabbai Tzedakah.
Yeah.
If he withholds aliyah to get you to your money, does it work the other way around? That he gives you more aliyah so that you'll pay more?
It's in the shul's interest. As in, if every time you get an aliyah, you make a nice donation, so the shul's going to keep giving you aliyahs. What he's not allowed to do is be like, last time that guy gave us $18, he should have given us $1,800. No aliyah for him. And then we have a little bit of a problem. Okay? He doesn't have to give him, you know, Maftir Yona, you know, give it to the guy who actually gives. Okay? But, you know, that's just good business sense. But, you know, to keep bugging you and asking for money and then withholding, you know, he's forcing you to do something that you don't want to do. So, in tzedakah, we're encouraging people to give. So we try to make it that they want to give. But we can't force them to give. Okay? That we can't do. Okay? Shkach.